I too want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus this evening. See new faces here this evening, didn't see last evening. Certainly thankful for the presence of each one. And I've been challenged already in the songs that we've sung and the devotional period. Certainly God is a great God, and we just marvel at His goodness, His mercy, and how He so longs for us just to come to Him and have a real fellowship with Him, a communion with Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, when we think of the fact that God was willing to see His only begotten Son leave His side, come to this earth, and you're down that cross. You know, God's love for His creation, for humanity, was a tremendous love. As we think of our children, would we be willing to see them sacrificed for a cause that maybe would be a noble cause? But you know, to think of allowing your child to go through something. I know none of us could ever take the place of Jesus, but just to think of what God did for us in allowing His Son to hang between heaven and earth there on that cross so that we can have our sins forgiven. Sure, it should move us to desire to live for Him and just commit our everything to Him. This evening, I want to think of two gates, two ways, and two destinations. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. I've often thought how it would be so wonderful to have sat there under the sound of Jesus' teaching. But you know, we do have the privilege of reading from the Bible here what Jesus taught the people. And He's still teaching us from His Word today. This Word is just as good for us today as it was for the ones that He was speaking to there on the mountain. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, in Jesus' ministry, He often used natural things that people were accustomed to bring out a spiritual truth. And the Jews were very accustomed to different ways or roads, like we would call them. They, in the time of Jesus, the way I understand, they had their public ways and the private ways. The private ways could not be more than 6 or 7 feet wide. It was expressed for people to commute from one place to the other without hindrance of any cargo or anything that would disrupt the flow of the people walking. And then they also had the broad way, where it could be up as wide as 25 feet wide, where, you know, if you had some animals to move or whatever from one place to the other, well, you could do that on the wide way. So Jesus speaking here of the narrow way and the broad way in a spiritual sense, giving the people what they understood in their own language, you know, these two ways. And also the gates was something that's very, very common among the Jewish people, and still common in lots of the world, and Yeah, we have gates for our animals that they can't get out where we want to enter and leave from the pastures and so forth. But even in Mexico, people tend to live in villages, and they have walls around their house and little lot, and then they have their gate where they could go in and out. And I think that's much the way it was in the time of Christ. In the Old Testament times, the walled cities had their gates, and so Jesus was using things that the people understood. And sometime when you're reading through the scriptures, notice how many times it speaks of a gate or gates. Even in heaven, it'd be 12 gates. 12 gates of pearl. And so we never want to get away from gates, do we? And we don't want to get away from the narrow way. I believe Jesus was telling the people here that everyone is traveling spiritually, either on the narrow way which leads to heaven, or on the wide road which leads to hell. And this evening, brothers and sisters and friends, we are what we call free moral agents. God does not compel us to walk in the straight and narrow way. He wants it with all his heart. He wants it so much that he sent his only begotten Son to make it possible so that we can enter in at the straight gate and walk on the narrow way. But we, each one, must choose the road that we will walk on. God will not force us to walk in the narrow way. Some people would say, well, I'm just going to be neutral. I'm not going to choose one or the other. That's not possible. To say we will not choose, we will automatically follow our sinful nature. We've been born with a sinful nature. And that nature will take us into the broad road, the road that leads us to hell, where we can take whatever with us that we want to. We will notice more of that later. Also, we must each one choose. And when we decide to follow Jesus, this is a definite life-changing choice that we make. Like I say, God does not compel us to make that choice, but he wants it. He wants us to follow him. And there's nothing he wants to see more than that a sinner comes to the end of himself and repents and walks on the narrow way. Now, I want to think of the straight gate. The straight gate. The gate that is difficult. It's narrow. It's difficult. Jesus in Luke 13 verse 24 said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. He said, strive to do that. Gives me the idea that it's something that goes against us, against our flesh. We all have this thing that we call flesh to deal with, that sinful nature. And that sinful nature does not want to be crucified. So it's a straight gate, it's a difficult gate that opens a way for the narrow way. And if I'm wrong in this, I stand correction, but I like to think of the straight gate as the cross. Before we can enter the narrow way, into the narrow way, and walk with Jesus, we must come to the foot of the cross in true repentance. We must come to the place where we are willing to crucify self. crucify everything that is carnal. We need to make a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. I believe that we meet Jesus at the foot of the cross in true repentance. That big I is crucified, and we bow ourselves to the will of God. We think of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus' followers, disciples, and how that Peter preached that powerful sermon. The people were convicted. They said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Peter said, "Repent, repent, and believe." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'd just like to read that verse. The testimony of the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says here, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So, the flesh is crucified. Yes, we live, but we're living under the power of God now. We go through that straight gate and we begin a life that is lived by the power of God as we gain entrance into the narrow way. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We want to think of the narrow way now. The cross is the means by which we gain entrance to the narrow way. And yes, it is restrictive. The narrow way is restrictive. I don't know how many of you would know the song on the Jericho Road. It says, "There's room for just two, Jesus and me." We cannot enter this way with the baggage of the world. You know, I believe before we can truly repent and fall before Jesus there at the foot of the cross, we must come to the end of ourselves, and we just want to be freed from the power of Satan and sin and self and all that the world has to offer us. If we don't come to that point, I don't believe we will truly enter the straight and narrow way. The baggage of the world cannot go with us through that straight gate and into the narrow way. 1 John 2:15, the Apostle John wrote these words: "Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So, the narrow way is restrictive. You know, brothers and sisters, the true child of God does not want what the world has to offer. If in our heart this evening we're longing after what the world has to offer, we're on the broad road. We might as well admit it. If in our heart that's what we really want, but maybe we're just ashamed to go there, or we're on the wrong road. The true child of God does not want that which the world has to offer. What the world has to offer leads us back into bondage, into sin, into fear, and it will bring the wrath of God upon us. The narrow way is the best way. We might think that it's restrictive, and it is. But you know what? In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Jesus wants us to be yoked with him. On this narrow way, we have communion with Jesus, with God. We walk with God. We commune with him, and he with us. Yes, we will notice that there are difficult things, but it's by far the best way. I believe as we walk this way, in this way, and are continually being drawn closer to God and to his will, that this road just opens up into a glorious road, really, because we have fellowship with God. It's the way that Jesus went before us. He's the one that opened this way for us. The Apostle Peter says that we're to follow the footsteps of Jesus. I was just really blessed a while back as I meditated upon that, as I read that verse again. How that the footsteps of Jesus ended at the throne of God, his Father. And brothers and sisters, as we follow his footsteps, as we walk this way that he has opened for us, that's exactly where we will one day be if we're faithful to the Lord. And that's what we want. That's where we want to be at the end of this earthly life. It's the way that ends in heaven. The narrow way is the best way, because we know that our sins are forgiven. You know, I feel sorry for the people that claim to be living for the Lord, but they just hope that their sins are forgiven. They just hope that they'll make it to heaven. Well, there is a sense in which, you know, we have a hope, but our hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. And he's in heaven. And so we don't have this kind of hope that we're uncertain and we don't know. You know, as we walk this straight and narrow way and we have fellowship with our Father in heaven, we can know that our sins are forgiven. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 bring that out. You know, in the first few verses of chapter 2, it talks there how that we were all the children of disobedience, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love with which he has loved us, he's provided salvation for us. And as we accept that provision of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we can know that our sins are forgiven. The narrow way is the best way because there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And what a blessing it is to lay down at night and know that if the Lord should return in our sleep, while we're sleeping, that we're ready to meet him. There's no condemnation there. Our sins are gone. They're under the blood. We're walking with Christ. We're yoked with him in this narrow way. Also, it's the best way because we have communion with God. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not just some of our sins, but from all of our sins. We can have that assurance that as we surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and are obedient to his will, we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with the Father, also with our brothers and sisters, and we know that all of our sins are forgiven. It's a wonderful, really it's a wonderful road that we can travel on. Yes, we have hope for the future. Like I mentioned, our hope is anchored in Jesus Christ, in the work which he has done for us. So we can know that someday we will be with the Lord if we're faithful to him as long as we live. And then we have peace when we travel this road. Romans 5 verse 1, should be able to quote that. It just doesn't quite come to my mind at this moment. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know how it was when we were out in sin and darkness. There was no peace in our heart. There was turmoil. Maybe we wanted to do what's right, but we didn't find the strength to do it. And we would try again, only to fall. Now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful blessing. Also on this narrow way, we have peaceful relationships. And I just have to say, brothers and sisters, sometimes it disturbs me, it bothers me. When as brothers and sisters in the Lord, that when there's something other than peaceful relationships, if there's unrest, if there's turmoil, if there's anything besides peaceful relationships in the brotherhood, it's because of our enemy. And somewhere we're letting him in. But on this road to glory, this narrow way, we should have peaceful relationships in the brotherhood. Turn to Romans 14. Beginning at verse 17, reading through 19. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Now, I do not believe that these verses give any room for sin in the brotherhood. You know, some people want to live in peace so much that just want to overlook things that need to be taken care of. But we will not have peace in the brotherhood if we overlook sin. Those things need to be taken care of. But in regards to things that are not here nor there, I need to be willing to lay down my own desires, my own opinions, and work for the good of the brotherhood and the peaceful relationships. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what Jerry Yoder thinks. It's not Jerry Yoder's ideas and opinions. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that should be and is our experience as we walk on the straight and narrow way, as we're fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Psalm 133 speaks of how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And that's when there's unity and brethren are dwelling together in that way. It's a beautiful picture. It's a powerful testimony to the world. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And then on this straight and narrow way, we have the church, which we've talked about some already in peaceful relationships. But what a blessing, what a privilege to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ, where Jesus truly is the head of the church. And we each one are members of the body. And we all take our orders, so to speak, from the head, who is Jesus. You know, just as my physical body cannot function without the head, the brain to tell the different parts of the body what to do, neither can we function without Jesus being the head of the church. We receive instruction from the head, Jesus, and that's only possible as we are walking on the straight and narrow way and are part of the church of Jesus Christ. Also, this way is illuminated by God Himself by means of His Holy Word and His Holy Spirit. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." So, yes, this way is illuminated by the Word of God and the very presence of God. God is light, so His Word is light. We don't walk in darkness when we walk on the straight and narrow way. We walk in the light. And then we have the blessing of Christian homes as we are walking on the straight and narrow way, as we're walking with Jesus. Homes where the love of God is very evident. Homes where the parents love each other. They love their children. Love rules every thought and action. There's peace in the home. There's respect for each other in the home. Children are taught about God and see their parents living faithful Christian lives. This is all blessings that we enjoy as we walk the straight and narrow way. We know that this way is not without its struggles. We know that we are living in the flesh and we have an enemy that wants to come at us. But you know, we have someone to lean on that's so much greater than the enemy that we face. We have the power of God to rely on. And even God Himself chastens us as we walk on this way. But you know, fathers here tonight, as you love your children and you chasten them, you do it for their spiritual good. You do it so that they learn what is right and what is wrong. You would not be satisfied to allow your children just to grow up without ever correcting them. I surely hope you wouldn't want to do it that way, because you can almost be assured that they will turn out other than what you would desire. And so God, in His love, as we walk the straight and narrow way, and we're yoked with Jesus, yet God allows us to go through difficult things, to refine us, to bring out the dross in our lives, bring it out and get rid of it so that we are more conformed to the image of Christ. You know, that's what this whole thing is about, being more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And so we can expect the chastening of the Lord. But let's keep in mind that that it is for our eternal good. Heaven is our goal. And let's also remember that God is much more interested in our spiritual welfare than he is in our physical comfort. I think we need to just really meditate on that and believe it. God allows difficult things to come sometimes so that we're drawn closer to him. He's a lot more interested in our spiritual welfare than in our physical comfort. Yes, there is a continual battle to be fought, but thank God we have the power of God to fight this battle with. And we don't need to succumb to the temptations that the devil brings. We don't need to fall under his power. The power of God is so much greater than the power of the devil. If we just humble ourselves and call on God, he's right there to see us through as we walk the straight and narrow way. I want to think a little bit of the broad road. The devil lures people into believing that this is the way. There's no restrictions. You can have what you want. You know, the devil wants you to believe that. But I just want to assure you that it's a lie. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And he never has any interest in the spiritual welfare of anyone. The devil always comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the only thing he can do. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. That's all he has to offer. Death. The broad road is the road to hell. It's a road where the devil is deceiving people and luring them on and deeper into sin. And I sometimes almost become alarmed how some people would talk about how hard the straight and narrow way is. It's just so hard. Yeah, it can be difficult, but we have the power of God there. On the broad road, it would be so much more difficult because there's no power there to overcome anything. Proverbs 13, last part of verse 15 says, the way of the transgressor is easy? No, it's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. The devil wants you to believe it's the way to freedom. You can have what you want. You can do what you want. But I'm going to tell you what, brothers and sisters, friends, it's the way to destruction. It's a way of bondage. It's a way to fear and way to eternal death. In that broad road, we see many, many evil, wicked things happening. In the home, there's between husband and wife, there's infidelity. The husband cheating on his wife, she cheating on her husband, which leads to broken homes. And that makes for insecure children. You know, as we look at the generation that's coming up, we see such a sad picture. And it doesn't need to be that way. But parents are... people are on the broad road and allowing Satan to take them deeper and deeper into sin. We see bitterness and envy. There's no true peace. There's no satisfaction. Oh, there's carnal pleasures aplenty, but they don't bring peace. They don't bring satisfaction. You go to bed at night and there's turmoil in the soul. There's no peace in knowing that they're ready to meet the Lord. It just seems to me, in comparing the narrow way with the broad road, that as we go on the narrow way, we just enjoy so many blessings that the road just opens up. But as you go to enter the broad gate on the broad road, the devil keeps bringing this thing in tighter and tighter, and there's just... Well, there was a testimony of a man, I don't know him personally, but the reason I heard how he had once been a Christian, but he lost out. As far as I know, he's never come back to the Lord, but his testimony was that the broad road finally gets so restrictive and so narrow that at the end of the day, the only thing he has to bring any type of relief is the bottle. Isn't that sad? But that's what the devil will do. God offers peace. He offers hope. He offers salvation. But the devil makes it appear like here's the road to travel. You can keep up with the sports. You can have your country music. You can have whatever you want. But brothers and sisters, it leads to bondage. It leads to hell itself. It leaves the life and the soul empty and hollow. They will take time yet to turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I believe this is a good picture of what we've been talking about this evening. I'd like to read verses 19 through 21. We notice, first of all, the works of the flesh, and then the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh definitely is the broad road. The fruit of the Spirit would be those that are walking in the straight and narrow way. Let's read. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Notice the list is not complete there. It says, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know that cannot be written any plainer. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit now is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm going to stop reading there. Notice the contrast in the list here. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Which road are we on this evening? Which road are we traveling? I cannot see into your hearts. Only God can see that. But He knows exactly where we are. I'm afraid there are people in this world today who make a profession of serving the Lord, and they're on the road, the broad road. I believe that our life, our daily walk of life, shows which road that we're walking on. So if you're here tonight and you know that you're on the broad road, you're not prepared to meet the Lord, I plead with you to surrender your life to the Lord. Come to the foot of the cross and allow Jesus to cleanse you of your sin. I think we will give time for an invitation, a verse of song.